As Lee said, I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version, and there are three very short passages. The first one is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Finally, my dear friends, since you belong to the Lord Jesus, we beg and urge you to live as we taught you. Then you will please God. You're already living that way, but try even harder. Remember the instructions we gave you as followers of the Lord Jesus. God wants you to be holy, so don't be immoral in matters of sex. And the next reading is from 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. I pray that God, who gives peace, will make you completely holy, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept healthy and faultless until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. The one who chose you can be trusted, and he will do this. And the final verses are from Philippians 2, 12 to 13. My dear friends, you always obeyed when I was with you. Now that I am away, you should obey even more. So work with fear and trembling to discover what it really means to be saved. God is working in you to make you willing and able to obey him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Sue. Let's pray for Charlie as she comes to lead us through considering those passages in the context of our study. Father God, we thank you for Charlie, for the gifts that you have given her. And we pray, Lord, that as we support her now, give us open ears and open hearts, that as she opens your word, that we would hear it as words coming from you, as you speak to us during this teaching time now. Bless her with peace and confidence to speak for you and to benefit us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Charlie.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
So, what a good week we've had. The summer weather, we went crabbing yesterday. It was very nice. Well, they did catch a few. They spent most of the time, we did have a soft ice cream, I must admit. I thought, gosh, where's the summer has come back. But in our studies that we've been doing on the journey from sinner to saint, let's look at those. And Father, just pray that you would just open our eyes to your word. So, 2 weeks ago, Jane explored the true meaning of repentance. It involves a change of direction from our way to God's way, giving God control of our lives. And we recognize that we're not good and that God knows best. And we need to turn from our independence and our, sort of our way to going God's way. We need to put our faith in Christ, trusting that he's done everything that's necessary to be forgiven. And it's how holiness gets started. And then last week, Simon looked at God's plan to make us like Christ. He reminded us of our studies in the New Catechism on sanctification. God's purpose is to make us more like Christ, to restore his image within us. In sanctification, God is fixing the marred image caused by our sin. It's an ongoing work in a Christian to progress in their holiness by God's grace. Which brings us to today's study. I want to start in the passage in Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13, which is what the children have got in their notebook things. It says, my dear friends, you always obeyed when I was with you. Now I'm away, you should obey even more. So work with fear and trembling to discover what it really means to be saved. And in the NIV, in your pew Bibles, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And earlier this year, in the studies on the New City Catechism, we addressed the question, should those who have faith in Christ Jesus seek their own salvation through their own works or anything else? And the answer is no. Everything necessary for salvation is found in Christ. So what does Paul mean when he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? How can we work out in our lives what God is doing in us? So I have here a passport. Can I have a volunteer? I'm looking at you, Lizzie. Or Josie, or Alice. I don't mind. It's okay, don't worry. Over there, you're not going to escape the other children. Right, can I have someone up here quickly to have a look at my passport? Yeah, okay, come on. Come and have a look at my passport. Actually, it's quite a nice photo. Most passport looks as though you need a number across your head and so on. Okay. Right, so can you have a look at that? Yeah? Have a look at that. Right, okay. So, what does the passport tell us? Right, can you have a look? Is that on? Is it on? Yeah. What's it tell us, Jacob?
It tells us your name and, like, your birthday and how you look and stuff.
Yeah. Anything else? What does it say there? No. What's that say? There.
No.
No, there.
No.
Yeah, what's that say?
British. British.
Say, is that loud?
British.
British.
Citizen.
British citizen, right, okay. So that passport, thank you. Okay, be up there again in a minute. Now they're worried. Okay, so passport reveals a person's citizenship, okay? People from other countries who've come to live... Oh, sorry, I'm going to cause you all sorts of trouble. People from other countries who come to live in this country and have been here for several years and have the right to stay can become citizens. As Rachel would know. Now, I don't know whether you've ever seen the citizenship exam, but I don't think I could pass it. But hey, they have to pass an exam about what it means to be a British citizen. And they need to promise to uphold the values and obey the laws of this country. They need to promise to live as a British citizen. Now, when you repent and you put your trust in Jesus as your Lord, and you become a citizen, you become a citizen of heaven. And you promise to turn away from self and your own way and follow God's way. You promise to live as a citizen of heaven, taking seriously the responsibilities of Christian obedience and Christian citizenship. Why? Well, verse 13 says, God is working in you to make you willing and able to obey him. And God is serious. He is working in us. And we must be serious and work on behaving as a citizen of heaven. Otherwise, we're ignoring God and treating him as though he doesn't matter. We don't earn our salvation. In fact, we cannot obey God without the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't naturally see our sin. God reveals it to us, and only through grace can we have the faith to believe in Jesus. God's will is to make us more like Christ, to be in harmony with God but also in harmony with one another. To prepare us for life with him in heaven, Rick Warren says the purpose of life in a nutshell. Life is a preparation for eternity, where we're made to last forever and God wants us to be with him in heaven. Now, you're going to cringe at this, but recently I've become aware that my time left on earth is very limited. That's because I'm nearly 70. I'm coming up to 70. Well, yes, I know. Time seems to go so fast, doesn't it? I mean, it just sort of just flies by. And I might have 10 years and I might have 20, but I'm going to spend endless years in eternity with God. And God is more interested in making me holy rather than happy. And that means that I need to work towards salvation. You know, it's serious. But how do I do that? Now, I'm going over there. Right, okay. I wonder what chores, jobs, do you have to do, kids? Have you got any chores you have to do? Anything that, jobs that your mum says, you need to do this? No. Ooh. Yes?
Make my bed.
Make your bed, right, okay. Right, oh, empty the dishwasher. Right, what about over here? Nothing. Oh, I'll have to have a word with Joanna here. She said, he said nothing. What jobs could you give him to do? Yes, we need to start making lists. What do you mean nothing? What about, what? Oh, Jacob, do you have any jobs to do? Tidy, oh, Thomas says he needs to tuss to tidy his room. Right, does he do it? Help from grandparents. Yes, we're very good at that, aren't we? Right, let's come over here. Josie. What's happened? I had a load of jobs. When I was 8, I had to cook dinner. Yeah, I had to go. I had to mow the lawn, and if you'd seen the lawn, it was just like that. It was awful. It was a power mower, but hey. Right, what about Ben and Elijah? I'm sure you've got some jobs, haven't you?
Doing the dishwasher. Emptying the dishwasher.
What about you, Molly?
Vacuuming.
I hate vacuuming. I've got a cleaner actually, but hey. Right. Okay. I think mums, we need to get these chores going. And dads, yeah, mums and dads, we need to get these chores going with these kids. Yeah? Like, for instance, taking the rubbish out. Tidying the room, you know, sort of, my daughter used to sort of, we had a cleaner who came once a week, and she said, anything that's messy in the room, I'm going to throw out. Yeah, she was a very, very sort of strong cleaner. She was a good friend. And the night before she came, they used to throw everything in the wardrobe and close the door. But yes, okay. So these chores that these children should be doing helps us to keep the place tidy, doesn't it? Okay, if Ben didn't unload the dishwasher, there wouldn't be any dishes for us to be able to eat from. You know, if Thomas didn't tidy his room, then it might be a bit of a problem, you know, sort of finding the floor. But what problem with jobs is that you do the job, and then about maybe even an hour later, it's all dirty again, or, you know, it doesn't seem to end. You keep making a mess, and you have to clear it up again. And our spiritual life is a little like houses. We get messed up, and we keep needing to come to Jesus in repentance and by faith, trust in the saving power of Jesus. We know that salvation is only through Christ, but there is a human responsibility to take hold of that salvation and to be active. So what spiritual chores are, can be enjoyable, but what spiritual chores might we need to work out our salvation? What sort of things should we be doing? I'm not sure.
Reading the Bible.
Yeah. Reading the Bible. Any other spiritual chores?
Praying.
Repentance. Right. So prayer, repentance, studying the Bible, coming to church. I'll go back to that one. I'm making him work today. Dave's thinking, I'm glad I'm not on. But prayer, repentance, faith, studying the Bible, coming to church, worship. Unless God worked in us, those wouldn't achieve anything. It's God working in us through the Holy Spirit who makes us holy. But these are practical steps we can take to learn more about Jesus. When we study the Bible, God speaks to us. When we pray, if we listen, God speaks to us. So they're really, really important. So let's quickly turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-3. And in verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, my dear friends, since you belong to the Lord Jesus, we beg and urge you to live as we taught you. Then you'll please God. You are already living that way, but try even harder." So to be able to please God, you must have made the decision to repent and turn to God. And in verse 1, Paul's instruction is to those who are in the Lord Jesus, brothers and sisters. And it's only through Christ we can please God. Our first two studies showed us that. God is holy, we are not. Our sin means that only through Christ can we come to God. And temptations are a matter of choice we make. Does the choice glorify God and honour Christ? Or does it glorify self and dishonour Christ? And in verses 2 and 3, the Thessalonians are urged to live in holiness, to control their passions, to be countercultural. I wonder, in what areas do we struggle to be holy? John Chapman talks about the need to continue in repentance and faith and grow in holiness. We continue to mess up, and our inclination is always towards self. Our desire to please God should outweigh our desire to please others. But as we study the Bible, the Holy Spirit will give us insight into how to please God and the strength to carry it through. So to please God, we need to obey his commands. Jesus says, "If you love me," in John 14, verse 15, says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And chapter 15, verse 12 says, "My command is this, love each other as I've loved you." So as Christians, we should desire to please God. And if we walk by the Spirit, he will give us the strength to avoid worldly desires. And we all have areas where we struggle to be holy, to be Christ-like. Do you remember the bracelet with the letters WWJD on it? It meant, what would Jesus do? Whenever we come across a situation, we could refer to the bracelet. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus be watching this? Would Jesus do this? And if the answer is no, then we mustn't either. We know our weaknesses and what we struggle with. So let me give you some examples. So children, listen out to these, because I'm going to ask you in a minute what you would have done. Right, okay. Some of us get irritated easily by situations. My daughter's got a dog called Bertie, and Bertie likes cheeselets, they found out. Cheeselets. Yeah, they're not very good for his stomach, but they found that the only way to protect their recycled stuff and stuff that's in the kitchen is to put the Hoover in the way, because he hates Hoovers. We're going to have Bertie in about a week's time for a week. Right, okay. So some of us get irritated easily by situations. And before going to work, okay, you cleaned up the kitchen and you come home from work to find this. Right. So you become grumpy with your kids. Is it their fault? Is that what Jesus would have done? You see, the fruits of the spirits are joy, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. So recognizing the problem, you ask for strength from the Holy Spirit. Right. So you ask your kids for help. Right. So Bertie's messed up the kitchen, Lizzie. Right? Bertie's messed up the kitchen, right? But you're busy playing. Right? Or Buzz has messed up your kitchen, Alice. Yeah. Right. What would you do? Right. I'm back on this one. Okay, so you ask your kids to help, okay, because it's really messy. You ask your kids for help. And they say, I'm too busy playing. What should they have done, Alice?
Clean it themselves.
Why?
Because they're the adults. Because they're the adults.
Oh, because the adults should have cleaned them themselves. Hmm. Now, is that, do you think Jesus would have done that?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's independent.
Right. Not necessarily the answer I wanted, but hey, never work with children. or animals. But, so you ask kids to help, okay, and they don't want to because they're too busy playing. Now, I wonder whether the children are actually pleasing God by their actions. Because, you know, sort of the mum says, please help. And they say, no, I'm too busy. Is that what Jesus would do? Jesus would have helped. You know, Jesus would have taken, you know, sort of care and sort of said, actually, you know, I can play in a minute. Yeah, I can do what I'm going to do. I'll help because clearly, you know, sort of my mum's stressed. So, now, mums and dads now. Right. Do you struggle to be holy when you're in your car? You're a little late for an appointment because you didn't get up early enough. Now, the driver of the car in front is not going fast enough, in your opinion. Do you suggest that he needs to find his right foot? Even if the driver can't hear, is the driver's fault that you were late? Are you being holy? What would Jesus do? And then, here's another one. Do you struggle with relationships? Do you get offended easily? Why do you get offended? Is it because people haven't said or done what you wanted? Is your reaction holy? What would Jesus do? On the cross, people shouted insults. The soldiers mocked him. They drove nails into his hands, but Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." All of us struggle to be holy, which is why it's so comforting to know that God is at work in us to make us holy. And nothing is impossible for God. But we need to be willing to want to be holy. We need to be aware of the dangers and distractions which prevent us from being holy. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, and we need to be attentive, listening to him. And we can only do that if we spend time with God, reading the Bible, praying, listening. We need to continually repent, recognizing that when we are putting ourselves first, that's not going to help. We need to repent, to continually repent, to put God first and ask for forgiveness. Living God's way as citizens of heaven requires strength, and it requires us to be holy. The Holy Spirit will give us strength. God will give us opportunities where we can choose to be obedient to him, and the power and strength of the Holy Spirit to make that choice. Our other reading is a prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5. Shall we pray this together over each other? I pray that God, who gives peace, will make you completely holy, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept healthy and faultless until our Lord Jesus returns. The one who chose you can be trusted, and he will do this. Amen.